higher penalties than the infamous city sleeping ban, give the police more discretion even. Have you been finding many homeless students drifting into your meetings?
No.
Dear, dear. And I guess what's coming up next is you got an Earth Day celebration, or?
Yeah, April 21st, and we're going to have a huff table there. That'll be cool. You're going to be there, right?
I'll be there with my sleeping bag and maybe my bathrobe. You never can tell.
And your teddy bear?
Edwina will have to make up her own mind on that subject. So you have your meeting every Thursday at 6:30. Is that the story?
Yes.
And it's on the second floor of the student center?
As always.
And how many hundred people are showing up at these meetings?
Well, right now we have three.
Well, so
that's not
stop that laughing in there. Now, three. Remember, three people can change the world.
That's true.
Or not, as the case may be.
We're kind of the three stooges tonight. It's one of those.
Well, maybe the Marx brothers or the Marx sisters. I'm not sure how many of you are men or how many are women.
Right.
So, can people get involved by calling you?
Oh, absolutely. They can reach me at 427-0270. And I want to put out the extra special reminder to everybody out there that Earth Day is going to be at San Lorenzo Park on Saturday, the 21st of April. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a great chance to check out a lot of great organizations in town, including, of course, Hunger and Homelessness and Santa Cruz Huff.
Dig it. Like. Well, hey, I'll be there. And I hope you get some students, and encourage students listening into the show to check out the Sleeping Band Summit, or it's called, I guess, the Right to Sleep Summit.
May 3rd and 4th, right?
Yeah, getting bigger all the time. May 3rd, 4th, and 5th now, looks like. We got an entire group from San Francisco's
Coalition?
Yeah, coming on down to hold a meeting the next day on Sunday, to which I imagine people are invited as well, concerned about civil rights issues for the homeless, called the California Homeless Civil Rights Organizing Project. I've been skeptical and called it C-CRAP rather than C-CROP at different times, because I like to see more action and less talk. But the Coalition on Homelessness has done both in different times, and they certainly are doing some strong stuff up there trying to fight whitewash Willie Brown in San Francisco. So.
Is the Paul Bowden coming down?
Paul Bowden, I don't know if he's coming down, but he may be coming down for one of the days, because I think he's going to be off in New York and doing some such thing on one of the days, and on the other day he may be flying in to, who knows, maybe arrest Mayor Crone. That could be a real possibility. Citizen's arrest, after all, if he can citizen arrest me on a bogus charge for which there is no probable cause, why can't we arrest him on a charge for which there is probable cause, to wit, making a false report? But that's another story.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what Mayor Crone likes.
Mayor Crone, what can I say? It's a strange sound, but we've been talking with Steve Weiss up at UCSC Huff. Any other words of wisdom for us, Steve?
Yes. It is not the cough that carries you off. It's the coffin they carry you off in.
I will say no more, and I suggest you do the same.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks, Steve.
Okay. Bye.
And it's Free Radio Santa Cruz's fine phone lines. They're open, 427-3772. Green Party Assembly, I remind you, meets in 2 days at Loudoun Nelson Center. There will be several homeless resolutions on the agenda. Green Party is the group that gave us, gag me with a spoon, Tim Fitzmaurice and Ed Porter on the City Council. On the other hand, there's some hardworking activists there who want to see some changes, and the Homeless Issues Working Group met last Monday, and they've put some resolutions into place that they're hoping will pass the Green Party Assembly on Saturday. Green Party Assembly is open. Anybody who wants to come, 4 to 6, come on down, Loudoun Nelson Center. You can check it out. Can't vote if you're not a Green Party member, but you can always observe and learn. You know, bring along tomatoes. Just kidding. We don't want to be violent in any way, do we? Or hostile, or non-peaceful. I'm a little bit sarcastic here because one of the Green Party members has refused to put Huff on the peace and justice calendar because he believes we are not a peaceful organization, or he, it's not quite clear why he won't do that. That's Paul Franklin. Still waiting for a phone call from Paul to see what the story is on that. And he's listed the Capitola City Council and the Progressive Federation and all kinds of other groups, but Huff, for some reason, just can't make it on the agenda. It could be because Huff has been embarrassed Mayor Fitzmaurice, the Green Party mayor, who flies in the face of the Green Party platform, which says that the Green Party shall oppose all laws criminalizing the homeless. And Fitzmaurice, of course, has created more procedures and laws, such as these posting signs at Harvey West Park, Emily Riley's nasty slap at homeless people last fall. So, come on down, and I see we have a phone caller calling in. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert, this is Judith.
Hey, Judith.
Hi.
Hi.
Good show. Glad to hear about that Mercy Housing thing.
The scamsters are at it again.
Oh, I'm so glad. What is her name again?
Elizabeth Vogel.
When I tuned in just as she began.
Oh, Eleanor. Eleanor Foresta.
Eleanor. And so she won the... She's still at Sycamore?
No, she won her lawsuit that they didn't evict her, but then she actually found other housing. She wasn't intending to stay there, but was able to move on, but she needed the time to move. So.
Did she have an attorney for that, you know?
She did. The attorney is, I believe, was Ed Fry.
Wow, that's great. That's really good to hear.
Right.
The main reason I'm calling is because I'm at Earth Day, and there's going to be two open mics besides what's going on at the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a sign-up sheet where people can come down between the hours of 12 and 5, and they can speak. You can speak. Do you have anything to say?
Mm-hmm.
Can't imagine you not.
Blah, blah, blah. That's
but
me.
But really, there is an open mic. They have a tent for singers and poets, mm-hmm. and then there'll be a mic for speakers. And it'll be down where all the booths are and all that. So people that are doing booths, if they have someone that wants to speak about that, anything to do with their work with the earth. I have John Monahan will be speaking about, in 1970, he was part of the organizing committee of the first Earth Day, and he'll be talking about that. And he's an artist here in town. That's only one of the speakers I have, but I want people to know that. They can either call me or they can call CalPERT. I should give the numbers, huh?
Mm-hmm.
CalPERT, sorry. So that's a good thing. People that want, and I'm trying to get, you know, people to come down and do, it's acoustic music only for the open mic. There'll be three bands playing at the Duck Pond, and it's going to start with, I think, Scott Kennedy and Fred Keeley, and then there'll be three bands. But they decided this year to open it up for the people to be more involved with Earth Day,
mm-hmm.
the community. So...
That sounds good.
So people don't really have to call and sign up. They can come down and sign up there, too. It'll be... Anyway, CalPERT's number is 459-4649.
Okay.
They can call Katie and... Or they can just come down and show up and sign up. Or they could call me.
I hope we have some Earth left on Earth Day, considering what's going on in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And Fuhrer Bush's recent military activities and prosecuting attorneys who are, because they have private conversations with their clients. It's pretty heavy stuff going on.
Yeah, that lawsuit with that lawyer and everything. And then did you hear the Helen Caldicott talk when she came? Or did you hear aired it yesterday?
Yeah, well, I actually tried to... I listened to a little of Helen in the studio when she came in and Vinny interviewed.
I know, that was great that you called and you asked the question I wanted to ask. I'm so glad you called.
She didn't answer it, unfortunately, but then most of these... I mean, Ralph Nader
She did answer it. She was on the beginning of her tour. She's giving up her life in Australia to come to America to try and help save the planet, and she didn't really have a lot to say about what was... You asked her what her take was on the rest of the world, right?
I did. I guess I didn't catch that. Maybe you heard something that I missed.
Well, I have it on tape.
Oh, good. Well, I'm going to have to listen to that tape again. Because I know when I asked Ralph Nader about the sleeping ban, and he did his little fudgy two-step thing about affordable housing, you know, I thought I was hearing Mike Rotkin, and it was really kind of an annoying thing. But, Helen, I've always admired Helen Caldicott for many years. I just wanted to hear some specifics that related to Santa Cruz. It's always...
Well, I have that. That's what I can't want to tell you about, because
okay.
Vinny played the... I didn't get to go see her that night. I just I heard what I heard, and I didn't go see her. I had something else that I had to do. And I was glad I was able to hear it yesterday. And, you know, I mean, she's trying to encourage us to take over our government.
Right.
And because we are the people. It is our money. It's our government. And she... suggested that we close down the Lockheed Martin here in Bonnie Doon. So there's a direct step suggestion she gave those of us in Santa Cruz. So I'm sure there's some organizing going on.
That's a good idea.
Like Sharon Delgado
would also consider closing down the city council.
At least having a big... Well, the city council is not... Do you know what Lockheed Martin... They're the number one space
I know.
Company. I mean, corporation. Go on, talk about that.
I mean, no, of course. And I think we should do that.
The city council doesn't have control over
No, but the city council for months has refused to come online in terms of any kinds of statements about what Bush is doing nationally or the war policies.
Well, just forget about them. They're not going to do it. I mean,
well, why not say the same thing about Lockheed Martin?
You know, I mean, but a lot of people don't even know Lockheed Martin is here.
Right, no, I'm glad you're bringing it up.
So I think that Helen Caldicott suggesting that is newsworthy. That's why I wanted to call in and talk about Earth Day, and I thought I'd mention that.
And I think it's worth mentioning.
Okay.
Hey.
All right. Carry on.
I appreciate that.
Thanks. Bye.
And it's Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. And finally, after an hour and 15 minutes of patient, perhaps an hour and a half of patient waiting, we have that man whose last name I'm going to learn to pronounce. Sign in again for us.
This is Jake Olthoff.
Jake Olthoff. Jake, you were the candidate with the flu at the last city council election round, although I think we did interview you at least at one point on the air here at Free Radio.
Yeah, I called in, I'm pretty sure, talked to you a little bit.
And here you're kind of a somewhat different mission today, which has to do with a rather serious incident, or I guess series of incidents that happened. Do you want to just take over and tell us all what happened here?
Well, basically, my son was in the UC daycare up there on campus, and he was there up till he was about 3, and he's 5 now. He was just beginning to talk then. And this last summer, he told us about a teacher that we had actually had some suspicions about, and we pulled him out of the daycare and voiced those suspicions to the people there, and they said, well, let's not talk about this. And we kind of did anyway. And, then that was when we took him out. And then when we heard actually what had happened, and he began to tell us details of how he had been molested there by one of the daycare workers, actually his caretaker, Eddie Jobe. And we filed a complaint, of course, with the police department.
The UC police?
Right, the UC police, mm-hmm. And called Child Protective Services.
CPS.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the UC police, they put a, they came and interviewed our son, and, you know, they said that he was totally credible, and Detective Scott Clark was the person that initially interviewed him. And they recorded his interview, and shortly after that, they started to tell us things like that the DA's office was telling him not to prosecute, which in a later meeting with Christine Long, Deputy DA, she told us that no, they were still waiting for them to actually give them the case. And
this all took place, what, during the fall of 2001?
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And let's see what happened next. Oh, so we talked to Christine Long, and she basically told us that, well, let me tell you about the investigation. Like I said, they started off with Detective Clark.
It's not Detective Steve Clark, folks, in Santa Cruz.
No,
it's
Scott Clark.
Scott Clark up at the UC.
Right. And after he was supposed to have been investigating it for a while, they switched for some reason. It became clear to us, if you've seen the movie A Few Good Men, and you realize what the way that they used to cover up in that, you can see that the same thing happened here. They actually took him off the case and put on Mike Camara, who is a motorcycle traffic cop with no experience in this kind of thing, and he went through a whole other set of interviews, which we found out was a violation of accepted police investigatory procedures when they're investigating with young children. And she said that their repeated interrogation of our son was abusive and traumatic for him. And apparently, they finally did submit the case to the DA, and they said that they couldn't prosecute it because after repeatedly interviewing our son, who is autistic, they finally found, after like the fourth or fifth interview, some little thing that they said was questionable of a story. The thing that was is that there is an extremely large sink in one of the bathrooms where Mr. Jobe would assault the kids, apparently. And the kids there all would call it the shower or the bath because it looked like a big bathroom fixture. And because he called that sink a shower, they said, well, that totally destroys his credibility.
Now you say kids. You mean there's more? There was more than one complaint against this, and the name of the teacher.
Well, I know that he assaulted my son multiple times. We had suspicions about other people, and we urged the police to locate these people and talk to them. But apparently, they didn't really even interview the other workers.
Did you talk to any of the other children in this class or in this group? Did you talk to the parents of any of the other...
Well, like I said, some of them have moved away. There was actually one of the other people that was in the same group that... Well, me and my wife were both survivors of sexual abuse as children, and...
It's not the easiest thing to talk
This
about.
Kid's behavior was pretty much... We were pretty sure that somebody was abusing him, and we actually suspected someone in his family because we hadn't heard at that point the story from our son.
And you say he's autistic. It means he doesn't talk generally. He talks less than
most
children.
No, he has I wish I could think of the name for it right now. It's a form of autism. He's real focused on things. Like he was really into roller coasters for a long time, and that's all he wants to talk about. And then now he's in maps and roads, and so he's got this it's a form of autism. I'm trying to think of the name.
He talks about one particular subject a lot.
Right, and he's just...
But when you talk to him, does he return?
He tunes out, too, and you know, I mean, he goes into his own little world a lot, but he's really intelligent and bright, and if you had heard his story, I mean, I was like, the first thing I wanted to know is, well, what did the police officer think, Detective Clark? Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was very positive that he was telling the truth, and...
But Detective Clark has been reassigned, right?
Yeah, well, in the midst of the investigation that they were doing, they transferred him to another case. Apparently, there was a murder on campus or something that they needed him on. Mm-hmm. I never heard about it. I'm wondering how many of these rapes and murders make the local press that apparently are going on up there. Mm. Because I've talked to the Sentinel. We've been in contact with the Sentinel, especially now with all this... stuff with the Catholic priest going on, and you know, I mean, it's bad that that's happening in Boston or wherever it happens, and yes, I think it should be exposed, but I don't think they should just single out the Catholic Church, especially when there's an organization that's engaging in the same pattern of cover-up and behavior right here in our community, the UC.
So you, what reporter did you talk to at the Sentinel?
Actually, I called up the editor at one point, and I just recently wrote a letter to, I can't think of his name, but he's one of the reporters. The reason why I chose him is he was reporting on another case where Christine Long was offering a child molester a deal so that he could stay out of prison.
This is D.A. Christie Long?
Right, right. And I said, oh, well, okay, then this is his, maybe this is his area and he'd be interested in this.
Dan White, perhaps?
No, I think no. It was, I want to say Scott, but... I'm not sure. It was in the paper just 2 days ago.
But the Sentinel wasn't too interested, is what you're saying?
Yeah, we haven't. They've never contacted us back for any of this. And
how long ago did you talk to them?
Oh, well, we talked to them last year.
4 or 5 months ago.
November, December, and then, like I said, I talked to them probably a couple weeks ago on the phone, and then, like I said, I emailed another time this week.
You have the sense they don't believe you, or that they feel like they can't print the story because they're afraid it would embarrass UC officials? Or?
Yeah, I think that's part of it, is that there seems to be some kind of effort, even by the DA, who I was kind of surprised at, to save face for the university. I mean, I've come to the conclusion that the only reason why they have UC police is to protect the image of the UC and to generate traffic tickets for the... local courts.
Well, plus to keep the homeless out of the area.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's not forget that, shall we? So you, the incidents happened during what period of time, do you think?
Okay, well, this was, from about September of 98 to May, April of 99.
So this was some time ago.
Right, like I said, he was, 2 or 3 years old at the time. He actually had been saying things like Eddie and we would be what, Jacob, and he just didn't have the language at that time to say anything, you know, as complicated as that this guy's a pedophile and he's abusing me. But
how many people were in this kid's class, do we know? Or
you know, there was a whole bunch of them. What really made us mad is that they told us that no adult was ever alone with a child. Uh-huh. And my wife actually began working there in the other half with the older kids. And that was one of the reasons why we yanked them out when we became concerned right away, is because we noticed that they weren't following, you know, the rules that they had explained to us when we put him in there.
What did she see?
I'm sorry, what? Oh, just that she was able to be alone with children. And that, you know, if she was able to be alone with children, then other people there was, you know, they weren't actually making sure that there was two adults when there was that no adult was ever alone with a child. Because what would happen is they would have this group time when they would all get all the leaders and the children together in a big circle. And then what Mr. Job would do is he would take my son and say, oh, you need a diaper change, and take him in, you know, to the bathroom. And that was pretty much his modus operandi.
Was it only him, or were there others who he did this to as well? Or did you?
Well, like I said, the police didn't actually interview any other people as far as I know, and not even the people that we were pretty sure that he had.
Did you ever talk to the parents yourself of these other kids?
No, you know what, they moved away, and we actually were keeping in contact with them. They moved to Salinas, but they moved away from there, and we didn't know, but of course the police would have been able to contact
and again,
them.
The number of kids in this class was 10, 20, 30, 5?
Oh, in his age group, I don't know, 20 or 30. He was only there for the first half of the day. But then what happened was after we had talked to Kate Canlis, and I had been pretty critical and vocal about the upcoming election and how that, you know, if she wasn't going to be protecting the community against these kind of people, that perhaps we needed a different DA. And so at some point, it became apparent to me that they weren't going to really do anything about this. So I decided to take it upon myself to inform the community in the way that I would have been informed, I would have wanted to have been informed, and proceeded to put some signs in my window. And I even called on the 30th of November, I called Scott Clark, and I asked him, you know, if it would be okay if I went down and stood, you know, outside the daycare center and talked to parents and held a sign and basically did a little protest.
Was this individual who you feel was responsible for the molesting still there?
No, they moved him, or he took another job, I guess, and he's now at the, as far as I know, he's at the Cabrillo daycare, and now that he's listed on the State Justice Department's index of suspected child molesters, and I've called President John Hurd and actually left him a message on his voicemail letting him know that this person is at that college at this time, and I never heard back from him. I was going to actually write him in writing, but so I put these signs up and I proceeded to go down to the daycare and talk to some people. Well, the first lady that came out, when she saw what my sign was, she started...
What did your sign say?
It said Eddie Job is a pedophile, and that this place covers up these kind of crimes, and that your children could be at risk.
Although Eddie wasn't actually employed at the point at which you presented the sign, but had been
employed
before.
Yes, it didn't say that he was working there now.
Right.
It just identified him, and then went about how they weren't very responsible there at the daycare. Well, she began cussing me out, and we had a little exchange, and she walked off to her apartment saying, I'm going to call the police and say you were harassing me. Well, I had just talked to Detective Clark, and he had told me I could go down there, so...
Should I interrupt you at this point? Because I know you brought a...
Well, yeah, I was going to...
A recording.
I was working right up to that point there.
I'm always advised, don't tell them what happens. Let them hear it on the recording, so I'll give you the same admonition.
Well, so I was talking to another person when Officer John Kennedy pulled up, and I had a little voice recorder that I turned on, and so I have a recording of what proceeded after that he came up and basically asked me what I was doing. I told him, you know, that I was...
Now, do you want to tell him this, or do you want to speak for itself?
Okay. Well, let me just say that they came up, and I was talking to somebody. This will start off, and you'll hear me say, was I harassing you? And that's the second, or actually the third person I got a chance to talk to. Only the first person seemed to think I was harassing him. And when he pulled up, we were just having a little conversation, kind of like me and Robert are talking right here, right now. And you could hear what happens. Basically, I ask him several times, you'll hear, you know, if I'm being detained or if I'm being arrested, and he says no on both counts, but then he would physically restrain me when I tried to return to my home, which was a couple hundred feet away.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Let's hear how this sounds.
Well, I also made a report about this, and to the UC police, and I got back a letter saying basically that these claims were without merit and actually denying that these things had ever happened.
All right, well, let's hear, I guess this is Officer Kennedy
right.
and you and a couple of other folks.
I'm right, isn't it down here?
No, actually, it is down here, isn't it? Okay.
Did you call?
And I was talking to him just like I was talking to her.
Oh, okay.
She said she was going to go call the police. I said, go ahead. I said, in fact, if you don't like what I'm saying, just go away.
Oh, okay. All right.
And she let me see. Finally left away.
Let me see.
And we called the police before I came down here. They said I was free to talk to people and hold a sign.
All right. Do you have, some kind of ID on you, real quick?
I don't.
You don't have a driver's license?
No, I just called. You can go and check the records. I just called.
Okay.
For some reason, you're harassing me.
Harassing you?
Yeah, you're asking me for my information when I'm trying to do a service here. I can't be talking to people if I'm talking to you. Please leave me alone if I'm not under arrest.
Yeah, you're not under arrest.
Thank you.
So an officer just came and wanted me to stop what I was doing so that he could get my information. What's that?
Hold up 1 minute for me, please.
Right, okay, here he comes.
I got a complaint in at the station. Somebody complained that you were harassing them. So I am going to need your information.
Can you tell me who this person is?
I don't know.
Look,
myself.
I'm not going to cooperate. I'm taking my right to remain silent. If I've done something that you can arrest me
you're
for...
you're not under arrest.
Okay. I'm going to cooperate.
Somebody called the station and complained.
Right,
okay,
so
that you were out here harassing them.
What is harassment? Is that a legal term?
I don't know. I don't.
So you don't even know if I did that.
Well, no, I don't. But what I'd like
to
do is get your.
Them.
What I would like to do is get your side of the story.
I don't want to give my side. I want to take the fifth. I'm innocent until proven guilty. I don't see any proof of guilty. You saw how I was talking to people. I talked to another car down there. None of those people thought I was harassing them. So this person is out to get me, and you're helping them.
I'm not helping anybody.
Well, then why are you bothering me?
I'm not bothering you.
Okay,
I'm trying to find
you.
Out some information.
I don't want to talk to you now, okay?
Well,
I choose not to.
Here's the thing, okay? I'm asking you for your ID. I want to know who you are.
I haven't done anything wrong, and I am not going to talk to you.
Listen.
What?
Stop walking away from me.
Am I under arrest? Am I in custody?
No, you're not under
arrest. I do not have to stop walking.
Well, I want you to talk to me, okay?
No, don't have to. Let go of me. Let go of me.
Listen.
You're assaulting me. You are under arrest. You have just touched me. Assault and battery. I'm going to go call the police.
Go ahead.
Put a charge on you. You just touched me. You're touching me.
Listen.
Let go of me, sir.
Listen, sir.
Let go of me, sir.
Sir.
Let go of me. Vicky! Vicky!
7 and 824. I'm up here by...
I'm being attacked! Vicky!
Screaming and carrying on.
Help, please!
Copy. By child care center.
Listen.
Leave me alone.
Listen. Listen, I'm trying to be nice here.
Then let go of me, John Kennedy.
Okay? I'm trying to be nice.
I haven't done anything wrong.
I want you to ID yourself.
I don't want to.
You're screaming out here
I don't
in front
have to
of these
ID.
Children.
I don't have to ID
okay?
myself.
You're screaming in front of these children. You won't ID yourself to me. Okay?
Go talk to Scott Clark. He knows who I am. I just talked to him on the phone.
Okay. Did you? But you're not telling me who you are.
I don't have to tell you. I don't know who you are. I don't even know that you're cop. You're restraining me.
Listen.
You're forcibly... You're hurting my arm. Now let go of me, please.
That's a firm. I'm up
will
here.
Please let go of me.
The toddler center.
Listen.
Okay.
I don't want to talk to you. I have a right to be free.
I don't know who you are. And you won't tell
me. I don't have to tell you who I am.
You're out here causing a disturbance.
I wasn't causing a disturbance.
You were screaming.
Yeah, I'm screaming for you to let go.
Listen, I want you to ID yourself.
I just want you to let go.
And that's what you're going to do.
I'll go get my ID then.
Okay. You're going to ID yourself to me, okay?
Okay, wow. And that, of course, was your colloquy with the forceful UC police officer, Mr. John Kennedy?
Yeah.
And he kept claiming you weren't under arrest, but he was requiring that you ID yourself. I don't think that's appropriate. He could arrest you, and then I guess...
Well, I was a couple hundred feet from my apartment, and so I didn't really think I'm going to need my ID when I go out basically in my front yard. And I even offered at one point to go get it, and that wasn't acceptable to them. They wanted me to produce ID, I guess, that I...
The woman you were calling for was your wife?
Then yes, yes, that was
did
my
did she
wife.
Ever come out? Did you ever get
No, no, she didn't hear me. Our apartment faces the other way around the corner, and it was that a few minutes after that they finally let me go because I said, okay, if you want me to talk to you, I will, but you have to let me go call a lawyer. And at that point, they said, okay, go call a lawyer.
And did you call a lawyer?
Eventually.
And you said that some other incidents happened that day that were sort of disquieting?
Right. Well, later on that day, apparently, get me back, I guess, for protesting outside there, the Family Student Housing Office organized basically a mob from how they behaved, to come out and in front of my house and protest, I guess, my signs. And
how many people were they?
Well, I was in class all afternoon, so I actually missed it.
Was your wife there?
My wife said about 20 or 30 people. More like 20. But
did they have signs, or?
Yeah.
What did the sign say?
The sign said, hate is not a family student value, family student housing value. And, I don't have any hate for anybody on the basis of who they are, but when somebody engages in behaviors that I feel strongly about, I think I should be free to feel strongly about them. And but, you know, they're within their rights to protest, I guess, but what really made me mad is that usually when you have a protest, you should have a buffer zone or something, and they were right in our front yard, and one of the people in the mob, Victor Marino, came up and began pounding on our house and our front door and screaming that my 5-year-old son, who reported the abuse, was a liar.
Uh-huh. We have a phone call here. Hey, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Robert, this is Van, Santa Cruz IMC.
Hey, Dan.
Hey. Van, not Dan.
Oh, Van. Whoops. Well, you know, Van, Dan, all you guys sound alike to me.
Yeah, I'm used to it.
You're with you're the independent media organization.
Yes, guerrilla journalism. That audio tape that your friend there just played?
Yes.
That's awesome. I want to talk to this guy later. I want to get his phone number or something.
Okay. Yeah, but what do you say to that there, Jake?
Yeah.
He's up for that.
I kind of figured.
So, actually, I want to point out that you are one of the... should we say, feistiest, most shootin'est, rootin', tootin'est reporters here.
I'm also one of the only reporters here. But.
To say the least. And you can be reached at www.santacruz.indymedia.org, if I'm not mistaken.
You are not mistaken. However, just to make sure, I would still like to get his phone number or something, or give him my phone number, because I really want to talk to him as soon as possible and get that recording online.
I'll tell you what you should do. You should give... What you should do is leave a message for me on the Huff line, and I'll have him call you later.
Okay, that'll work fine.
It'll be sometime later this evening.
Okay,
sounds
good. We'll definitely do that.
All right, any thoughts on what you've heard? I mean, is this man
was awesome. I wish he'd stuck it out to the bitter, bitter end, but I'm glad that he at least went 99% of the way. I am forever doing that with cops, and I have yet to actually get it on tape, audio or video yet. I keep meaning to, but I'm glad that he actually got that on audio. That's beautiful, the way that he was standing up to that asshole and kept pointing out to him that he had no right to be demanding that he identify himself to the cop unless he's actually done something wrong. And then the cop's coming up with excuses like, oh, well, you're screaming. And then this is after the cop's already making
yeah, he had grabbed my arm.
That's perfect. That is so classic, because that happens all the fucking time.
Yeah, what I liked was...
to me all my life.
What I liked was when he said that they got a report that I was harassing people, and I asked him if that was a legal term or what that meant exactly, and he said he didn't know what it meant.
Yeah, the proper thing to do for all you potential felons out there or targets of the police is if a police officer comes up, and I think you did just the right thing, Jake, but if he says he wants to talk to you, say, am I under arrest? You say, no,
exactly.
So then I'm leaving. And then he says, no, I want to... I guess there is a thing called a detention.
There's arrest, and then there's being detained... while he's trying to determine... Supposedly, they have the right to detain you, which means
right.
They can't arrest you, they can't put you in handcuffs, they can't put you in a car.
Right.
I specifically asked...
keep
you from walking away while they investigate whether or not a crime has been committed. And then once they determine if a crime has been committed, then they're allowed to decide, well, are you the one who was responsible for it, then they can arrest you.
They have to have reasonable suspicion to believe that a particular crime was committed, and they have to be able to describe that specifically to you as to what crime they are investigating.
Yeah, right. They call it reasonably articulable suspicion. Articulable.
Right, and if
they have an obligation to tell you what that is, I'm not so sure that they actually have a legal obligation to tell you. They just have.
I believe they do. That's what the Public Defender's Office told the Citizens Police Review Board in describing the difference between a detention and an arrest in a presentation made the week after the district attorney made his presentation. But I think specifically.
Documented. I'd like to quote that.
Yeah, I mean, I could be wrong. You know, I mean, certainly that's my recollection from 3 years ago when it was presented in front of the Citizens Police Review Board. But obviously the thing to do is to talk to some criminal lawyers or go online and look up detention and try to find out, you know, what the latest decisions are around that.
You said the Santa Cruz County Public Defender said this though.
Yeah, that he made a presentation to the, and we actually asked him questions about what you know. Because we were concerned about detentions for infractions, such as sitting on the sidewalk and anti-homeless detentions
right.
of that sort. But the specifics are he has to tell you what crime he's investigating. It can't be a secret or a mystery.
What was the name of that public defender?
I remember it was Art Danner, who was the DA, but that doesn't help much. That was when he was before he was a judge. I can try to remember that and get back to you on that issue.
Or I guess I can just call the public defender's office.
Right, but the thing to remember, I think, for folks is that you know you have, you know, if I don't think he has any right to detain you if your house is there. If you can point out, this is my house, I'm going into my house, I'm going to be in my house. If you have probable cause to believe that I am. You know, guilty of a criminal behavior, you can either get a search warrant or get an arrest warrant, or I guess you can arrest me if a citizen wants to fill out a citizen's arrest form, then you can arrest me. Otherwise, leave me alone. And I think that's appropriate to say, although there is
that. You might have to prove to him that it is your house. I mean, you could always claim that any house you're in front of is actually yours, but if you can prove it to him that it's your house, then he should be obligated to leave you alone, because if he needs to come back and find you later, well, now he knows it's your house.
It's true, but you know, I mean, I think it's a really important line to maintain, which is, I'm going about my lawful business. If I'm not under arrest, I'm leaving. And
right.
you can actually do that when you're being detained. You can say, this is my house, and I'm going into my house, and he can then arrest you, but you can prove later it was my house, I wasn't lying, and you had to have probable cause to arrest me. If you don't have probable cause, you can't arrest me. Now, I suppose he can say, I'm just going to detain you with adequate force. In which case, you know, you can argue about that later. But I think making a lot of noise about what's going on in an appropriate way, that's what I always do. I've been arrested 3 times in the last 8 months by Sergeant Baker, coincidentally enough, on every occasion.
And more than I normally do.
For some strange reason. And, you know, I tend to make it a public opportunity to discuss with Sergeant Baker his arrest techniques, you know, in order to kind of give him some input on how he's doing, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
May I ask you, I'm sorry, I didn't catch his name.
It's Jake.
Jake. May I ask why at the end you eventually did cave in and offer him your driver's license?
No, I didn't have any ID on me. I was a couple hundred feet from my apartment.
So you offered to go into your house and get it for him?
Yeah, well, I said I could go get it for you, but they didn't want to let me leave, apparently. But the thing is, I had already called up the police and identified myself just, you know, probably half an hour before that they came, and I wasn't doing anything wrong. Apparently, this was like the daycare saw what I was doing out there, I guess. This is my theory, and sent them out and said, okay, go talk to him and then go say he was harassing you. Because it was like, I talked to a person that was coming out of the daycare, and that was the person that harassed. When I talked to people that were coming to the daycare, they were really eager to hear what I had to say about my son and our experience there at the daycare.
Right. Obviously, the harassment charge was complete bullshit, but I think the game that the cop was playing was that even though you had already called earlier... And
you
cleared it with them.
It was
and even if he did call back to his office and check that someone had called, someone of a certain name,
here was their purpose in doing that, because I got a letter from surprisingly, I had just the other day I had a couple days before this happened, I think it was the Alma Cifuente is one of the UC high personnel, and the director of the Student Judicial Services, Doug Zwiedema, had been like peering through my windows and coming in my backyard in the back a few days before, and I went out and made a citizen's arrest of them. I didn't even know who they were. I just knew there were two strange people peering in my window going, hey, I think we could get them on health and safety violations. And so I ran out there and I said, you're under arrest, and I called the UC police, and they came, but... course, they didn't process my complaint, but I've found out that they're obligated to under state law.
Yes, they are.
But yeah, they refused to take any complaint against them. Well, a few days after this incident with the police, I got a letter from Doug Zwiedema saying, and this is kind of funny what he said. He said that they had looked at the report and they basically barred me from going within 100 feet or 200 feet of the daycare and of talking to anybody. They barred me from talking to anybody that had their kids in the daycare about anything that would make them feel uncomfortable about having their kids in the daycare.
Did they bar you because it's their private property, or did
well,
they
see, it's, that's how they're acting, but it's not their private
property. It's
university
property.
It's our property.
Okay.
Now, are you still living up there?
Yes, yeah. Well, actually, they're trying to evict us now, but Ed
did
Fry's...
Did they get a restraining order, or how are they just...
Well, no, they gave me a restraining order, not a real restraining order, but a university one, so I don't know. By talking about this, I don't know, they may even say I violated his order, but I don't think it's lawful to tell me that I can't say things that make people uncomfortable about where their kids are getting daycare.
Sounds like a serious attack on the First Amendment to me, but go ahead.
So I think that was the main purpose. They just wanted to, like, so that they would have an incident that they could refer to in doing that.
You say Attorney Ed Fry is covering your case?
Right, yeah. The thing was, the first they said, because my wife is a medical marijuana user, that they were going to evict us because of that. And then when we produced the paperwork and everything and the evidence that we weren't doing anything illegal... Then they proceeded now with an eviction that's without cause, is what they're claiming, is that there's no reason for it. Apparently they just picked our name out of a hat randomly and chose us for eviction. But that, even in the case of Mitchell versus Poole, is any organization that is subsidized through tax dollars can't evict people without cause. And I'm sure you know all about that, right?
Now, actually, Eleanor, the woman who called in before, they tried to do that same thing to her, and Ed Fry, as you know, defended her. And hopefully, is there a court date coming up when you're going to be going into court?
Oh, for this?
Yeah.
Well, we did have they were all in a hurry, and then now that the lawyers responded to all these, and basically we're saying that this is a retaliatory eviction for the use of my First Amendment rights. See, one of the problems up at the UC is the child care and the housing services are one department. So basically, by saying anything bad about the daycare, you're pissing off the people that...
And who is the Führer of the housing department, to use a banned phrase at city council? Führer is banned. Go ahead.
Oh, at the UC, vice chancellor in charge is Jean Marie Scott. I had a meeting with her, and she gave me a 24-hour eviction notice after I had stuff from lawyers saying that they couldn't do that, and I showed it to her, and she didn't care. Well, she called me in, and apparently I thought they were going to, like, you know, have some kind of hearing against me, but they sat me down and said, okay, what do you have to say about this? And I said, well, I haven't seen any evidence that I did anything wrong. And I said, but if I'm going to make a statement, I want to record it so I'm not misquoted. And I pulled out a recorder, and then they freaked out. No, you turn that off. You get out of here. And then that was the end of the meeting, if I wouldn't meet with them on the record. And so then they handed me... Apparently the meeting was supposed to be to decide what they were going to do, but she had a pre-typed form that ordered me to be out the next day at noon. And handed it to me. I was like, well, what, you know, it seems like this meeting wasn't really to decide anything.
When was this meeting?
December 4th, or maybe it was like in the beginning of December.
So when did they begin eviction proceedings against you?
Well, let's see. They gave us that, and then I guess it was probably we left for Christmas. Well, because, see, that we actually left because the people were coming into our house and threatening me with violence, and the police weren't...
Talk about that a little bit. When did that happen?
Oh, hey, I got to get going here, Robert.
Hey, thank you for calling in. I would encourage you to, you know, leave your name on the Huff line, and we'll
have him
back to you, but we can post this story.
Yes, and Jake, just one more time, good fucking job. Good performance.
Thanks. So we actually at one point asked if when this person came and then he fled when we called the police, and... even though we said we wanted to press charges, they didn't even file
this. Who was this person?
His name was Victor Marino, and he entered our house and said, why don't you come out here so I can beat you up.
Who was he?
Well, he was a person that was in the mob that was outside our house earlier, and that he had been coming up yelling that my son, who was assaulted, was lying about it.
Was he a resident of the UCSC housing program, or an official of some sort? Or?
No, he was a resident.
Victor, call in if you'd like. Let's get your side of the story.
And... so then after he left, and we didn't know where he was, and the police didn't know it came, and we said, well, could you, like, post somebody here in case he comes back to protect us, which we've since found out under Title IX of the Educational Code that they were required to do.
As they were required to make a take a complaint and take your citizen's arrest
right.
of the two individuals in your backyard, apparently, but they did not.
Under Title IX of the Educational Code, they were required to provide us with protection against retaliation, and the people that were supposed to do it was Doug Zwiedema and the UC Police were the major people that were supposed to protect us from retaliation, but it seems like they were the basic forces that were retaliating against
us. What about the neighbors and other folks on campus? Are you pariahs? Are you supported? Is there mixed feelings? What's the story?
There's mixed feelings, I would say. You know, I've talked to some people that, well, I know some people have like brought this up when they went to go put their kids in daycare, and that was probably part of the reason why they had Mr. Job transfer out to the, I guess, the Cabrillo daycare.
Uh-huh. And now, have you considered going down to Cabrillo and doing a little picketing down there?
Yeah.
Or is it sort of one lawsuit at a time? What's the story?
Well, yeah, I just, it's on the other side of town. I've thought about doing this. Like I said, I called the Cabrillo president, John Hurd, and left a message just telling him that he could check the state index of the child abuse or child molestation. The Justice Department runs a special index of people, and that informing him that one of the people on that index was currently working at the daycare over there. I don't know if he's still working there or what has happened. I've kind of been busy with just life. But
so what do you do otherwise? Let's get the broader picture.
I'm a student up at UC.
And have you been discriminated against in other ways, or have you been able to pursue your student career? What kind of studenting are you doing?
Well, I'm a film and digital media major.
Uh-huh. What year are you?
I'm a senior.
And a fellow students informed of your situation been, you know, prone to help you, prone to distance from you, prone to just sort of do nothing? What?
Oh, I don't know. You know, the parents that still have their kids in that daycare and they don't, you know, it's just not convenient for them to find another place, they really don't want to believe it because it's easier that way for them to feel secure.
Do you think the problem is just this one fellow? Are you concerned about the rules? Have they changed the rules since this complaint was made?
Here's the funny part. Like I said, that we weren't initially like worried that this was an issue because they assured us that it was their policy to never allow an adult to be alone with a child. And I've talked to parents that have put their kids in since we've had our complaints, and they no longer promise that to anybody. And another thing that they've instituted is that they will not let parents drop in on their kids in daycare. They say they don't want them to come during the day, that they just prohibit them from doing that. And this has been a real stress for some parents.
Well, we don't want any of these embarrassing episodes, Jake. I mean, you are sort of an embarrassment at the university, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. I think that they should be embarrassed. It's just pathetic, the way, and just the fact. Another thing is these signs that put on before. This is interesting. I read in the City on a Hill Press right at the end of the year that they had actually consulted their legal counsel to see if what I was doing was legal, because I guess they were going to try and file some criminal charges or something against me. And they were told by their own attorneys that that was protected speech and that there was, you know, I was within my rights. And it was after that they got this information from their attorneys that they decided to evict us without cause.
And so where are you at in that situation? Are you simply, are you about to be evicted? Are you on hold?
We're in the process of it. We've been for a while. They aren't in any hurry now because they've offered to settle with us.
In what way?
To give us some free rent for the time we've been there if we would move out, like voluntarily.
Counseling for the kid later on in life.
Well, we already have done that and no, they didn't offer anything like that. It was just mainly they don't want to go into the eviction court now because they know that what they're doing is illegal and it's retaliation.
What did CPS do when all this happened?
Well, because I guess CPS, they just make a note of it and the police investigate it. What CPS does is that if somebody is in the home, is abusing a child, then that's when they come in to protect that child. But since our child was no longer in the daycare, and you know, he had a safe environment at home, there was really nothing for them to do but just note that there was.
So, in other words, CPS has no interest in pursuing institutions that abuse kids, just individual families.
That's kind of like what they were saying.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's funny that the UC though is investigating. I mean, I see the real problem is that the UC, like I said, they're there to serve the UC.
You know, I'd love to have you come back. We're reaching the end of our hour. We've got about 4 minutes left. If you've got time on Sunday to come back and kind of do a follow-up on this, because I know you had experiences with the DA's office after this. You had experiences going to the media. Have you tried to write City on a Hill a letter about this? Or
No.
The attorney has kind of shut you down on this, or maybe you've been told to kind of keep it quiet? Or
well, at one point, like I said, when they were trying to, like, get my wife on the marijuana medical thing, that we were trying to just...
That's another thing I'd like to talk about. Hi, you're on Free Radio. Sorry, caller, we just missed you. We really are really kind of reaching the end of the show, and what do you think, Jake? You got time to come back, or is this pretty much what you can give us?
Yeah, I could come back. I'm not sure.
We've got a 3.5 hour stretch on Sunday from 10 to 1:30 in the afternoon, and we could definitely fit you in at a time of your convenience. And if folks have questions, you can always call back then, or you can leave your question on the Huff line, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. And, you know, we'll pass it on to Jake and, you know, see what, you know. It sounds to me like, you know, this is, I mean, I've got no idea about the merits of Jake's charges, but the overreaction of the UC Police Department, UC officials, the failure of CPS and District Attorney's Office and the media to have any interest in this case whatsoever, if your account is accurate, Jake, concerns me, and I think we need to kind of pursue it further. We're going to begin a little playing of a very kind of apropos theme song, and then kind of this will lead into Uncle Dennis's show, which is coming up from the cream to the dregs, which will be happening for the next 3 hours from 8 to 11. And you're invited to stay tuned for that. You can also, well, let me quickly catch this call. Hi, you're on Free Radio, quickly.
Hi, I just wanted to say that this brings up another problem up there, which is there is no real newspaper up at the UC campus. It's very strange. Other universities I've been to, they always have a daily newspaper. There's no journalism department. There's no newspaper. There's no way for people to get information like this out, really.
And that's a good point. I know down in Isla Vista, where there's an encampment that we're corresponding with, there's the Daily Nexus, which is daily. So, you know, your
right.
point is well taken, caller. Can you call back on Sunday?
Sure.
Hey, thank you for
thank
calling
you.
In.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that's pretty much it for this edition of Bathrobes Piers Broadsides Green Party. I'll be hanging out there at the Assembly 4 o'clock on Saturday. I invite you to come down if you're interested in homeless issues and holding Fuhrer Fitzmaurice accountable for his Green Party gaggery, so to speak. That's happening, as I say, 4 to 6 on Thursday at Loudoun Nelson. You can also come, of course, to our Huff meetings, and that'll be next week. And give a call to 423-HUFF between times, plus, well... We'll talk more about it at the next show, and enjoy this this theme song. It's one of my favorites, and who knows, maybe it'll become one of the city council favorites, too.
Germans go into your dance. I was born in Dusseldorf, and that is why they call me Rolf.
Don't be stupid, be a smarty. Come and join the Nazi party.
Welcome to From the Cream to the Dregs. I'm Uncle Dennis, and that, of course, was the Dixie Dregs. A little tune called Punk Sandwich. We're here for about three more hours. We're going to play lots of music tonight. So if you're interested in hearing something, give us a call at 427-3772. And if we can find it, or if we have it, we'll be glad to put it on for you. Once again, that's right here in Mega Studio A, 427-3772. And for those of you who are listening in for the first time, From the Cream to the Dregs is a music show for those of you who want to hear some rare, not so often played, but altogether interesting music from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. I'm proud to own a collection of music. There is some here in the studio, and of course we're always looking for new stuff. And so if that's what you want to hear, fine. The other thing we do here from the Cream to the Dregs is every week we feature a beer. This week's feature beer is Guinness Extra Stout. In case you wonder what From the Cream to the Dregs is all about, well, that's from the top of the beer to the bottom of the beer. Or it's from the from cream to the Dixie Dregs, whichever you like. Anyway, it's all about good music and good fun, so stay tuned. Tonight's feature band is going to be, well, why not, the Dixie Dregs. Here they are again. This time it's called Ionized.